Turn with me in your Bibles to the Gospel of Luke, chapter 2, beginning with verse 15, reading through verse 19, Luke 2, verse 15. Last week we considered the theme, Christmas in Heaven. And this week we're considering the theme, Christmas in Your Heart. Listen carefully to God's Word. So it was when the angels had gone away from them into heaven that the shepherds said to one another, "Let us now go to Bethlehem and see this thing that is come to pass, which the Lord has made known to us." And they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. Now when they had seen him, they made widely known the saying which was told them concerning this child. And all those who heard it marveled at those things which were told them by the shepherds. But Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. May God add His blessing to this, the reading and hearing of His own holy and infallible Word. Amen. At this time, let us come before the Lord in silent prayer and in meditation. Let us pray. Luke 2:19. But Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. Mary kept Christmas in her heart. The question for us is, will we be keeping Christmas? And will we be keeping Christmas in our hearts? That is our theme this morning, Christmas in your heart. We can do all the right things at Christmas time. We can go to the get-togethers. We can decorate our homes. We can send out all the Christmas cards to those we should. We can give all the right gifts. We can even receive the gifts that we very much would like to receive. We can do all of the right things, but we may not indeed keep Christmas. Mary, the Virgin Mother, had the right idea in verse 19 of Luke chapter 2. But Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. As I thought about Mary, I asked, what is there about this woman that occasioned her to keep Christmas, the first Christmas in her heart, to keep it in her heart and to think about it? What characteristics, qualities were there that could describe her life and characteristics that we may glean from her life? I think there are at least three. And the first one is this. Mary had what we may call the simplicity of faith. I think of the time the angel Gabriel first appeared to Mary in Luke chapter 1 in verses 26 through 38. When the angel announced to Mary that she, as a virgin, was going to conceive and bear a son, look at Mary's response in verse 34 of chapter 1. Then Mary said to the angel, "How can this be, since I do not know a man?" And then notice her response to the revelation that it is the Holy Spirit who will come upon her. And the Holy Spirit will enable her to conceive. Notice her response in verses 37 and 38 of chapter 1. For with God nothing will be impossible. Verse 37, and then Mary's response in verse 38, behold the maidservant of the Lord. Behold the maidservant of the Lord. There to me is the simplicity of faith. A woman, a young woman, yet a teenager, who had become pregnant. Things that she did not understand had happened to her, and yet she, at this revelation, was willing to say, Lord, I am your maidservant. I am your bondservant. I am your slave, and whatever you want to do to me is fine. The simplicity of faith. I think so many of us are not celebrating Christmas this year because we certainly do not have faith, nor are we simple in our Christian, in our Christmas observance. How can we demonstrate the simplicity of faith? Well, one way, I think, is what Peter Marshall says, and that is by not becoming cynics. By not becoming cynics. You know, by not becoming one of those people who says, oh, Christmas is so commercialized. Christmas is so secularized. Well, friends, I want to tell you, if your Christmas is commercialized and secularized, if you have let your Christmas become worldly, then that is your choice. But Christmas doesn't have to be. It can be simple as faith. Nor can we have the attitude of what Peter Marshall pointed out again, that is, of those who say, I just don't have the Christmas spirit. Those are the people who have become dulled and who may have become disinterested, or for some other reason, I don't have the Christmas spirit this year. Well, friend, what that tells me about is something more about you than it does about Christmas. Because if your faith is so small that you cannot enter into the faith and to the joy and to the expectancy of this season, then is something wrong with you, not something wrong with Christmas. And when I think of this young mother and her words, behold the maidservant of the Lord, I think of one who has the simplicity of faith. And that's why she could keep the first Christmas. What about you? Do you have the simplicity of faith to keep Christmas in your heart? But there's something else, another characteristic about Mary, and it is the serenity, what I call the serenity of hope. What reminded me of that was a study that we did recently as we're preaching through the Gospel of John. When in John chapter 2, we found Jesus, his mother, and some of the disciples at the wedding feast in Cana. And remember, during that wedding feast, they ran out of wine. And the mother of Jesus, Mary, came to him in John chapter 2, verse 3, where we read these words, when they ran out of wine, the mother of Jesus said to him, they have no wine. And then Jesus said, woman, what does your concern have to do with me? My hour has not yet come. And then verse 5, his mother said to the servants, whatever he says to you, do it. Do you notice something about these words? About her attitude? Her attitude is one of quiet confidence. She is not in a panic. She is not in a turmoil. She's not being a busybody. She is not rushed. She is not breathless in her rushing into the presence of the Lord and say, oh God, please do this. She simply says to Jesus, Jesus, they don't have any more wine. And then she calmly turns to the servants and says, whatever he tells you, you do. I said, she is not breathless. She's not in a panic. It reminds me of Martin Lloyd-Jones said about faith. I think hope is the same, can be said of faith in the same way. Martin Lloyd-Jones said this, faith is a refusal to panic. Did you get that? Yes, faith can move mountains. Faith can do a lot of things, but faith is very practical and faith is very gutsy. And it comes down to this basic definition. Faith is a refusal to panic, but the same thing could be said of hope. Hope is a refusal to panic. Why? Because hope is basic to our human nature and character. If you lose hope, you've lost. The first thing that I try to give anybody who comes into my office, I don't care what problem they have. And that's true with any Christian counselor that I know. I try to show them that they can have hope. Do you have domestic problems? Is there a bad habit? Is there sin in your life? Do you have business problems? Well, friend, what you need to know is that the end is not upon you. There is hope. And I think that's what Mary experienced. She experienced what we call the serenity of hope. And that's how we can demonstrate this serenity. By celebrating Christmas, by keeping Christmas in our own hearts, by ourselves remembering that no matter how difficult a problem we may face, that no matter how hard a situation is we're faced with, no matter how complex our lives have become, no matter how far down into sin we may have fallen, you have hope. And you can have hope. You can change. That's what the Bible is all about. For we know that all things work together for good to those who love God and who are called according to His purpose. And Paul said again in 1 Corinthians 10:13 that there has no temptation overtaken you but such as is common to man. But God will, with the temptation, also provide a way of escape. So there is nothing, there is nothing that you can experience in this life but that God is the answer. Because He is a God of hope, not a God of despair. And here is this young pregnant woman. And yet she experiences the serenity of hope. I see her as serene and calm, as a gentle woman. And there are no finer women than those. But she was serene and calm and gentle because of her hope, which was in God. And then there is a third characteristic of Mary, and it is this, the servitude of love, faith, hope, and love. The servitude of love, go back to Luke 1:38. Where Mary said, behold, the maidservant of the Lord, let it be to me according to your word. My goodness, how many of us would be willing, would dare say to God, God, do to me whatever you want to do. She submitted herself to God. Would we have been happy about an unexpected pregnancy? Have you been? In our marital life, we've had two unexpected pregnancies. By the way, actually, we have four children. Most of you didn't know that. We have one who's already in heaven, who didn't make it through a full pregnancy. The thought never occurred to us to ever abort any of those children. It was unexpected. And the irony of Christmas is this, that there are virtually millions of people who are celebrating the birth, celebrating an unexpected pregnancy, who aborted their own unwanted pregnancies. Think about that. A television station in Birmingham recently interviewed a black girl, a teenager, an honor student in one of the high schools, who became pregnant, had her baby, and then continued school, and now has received a scholarship to Talladega. And no, we don't approve of teen pregnancies, of premarital sex, but I'll tell you what is worse, and that is abortion. But here was a woman who did not know a man, and yet who had an unexpected pregnancy to come along. How can we somehow in our own lives approximate this kind of devotion, this kind of service, and exemplify the servitude of love in our lives, which is willing to say, God, I'm willing to be used by you for any purpose that you please. For love is service to others. That is the meaning of Christmas. Service. For God Himself, John 3:16, God sent forth His Son. He gave His only begotten Son. He gave His Son. And in the Old Testament, Jesus is referred to as the suffering servant. Do you know why the Jews didn't receive Jesus when He first came? It's because they were expecting some great king to come. And He was a king, but He was a servant king. And they were confused. They weren't expecting somebody who would be a servant. But I'll tell you, if you and I want to be like Jesus Christ, then we also have to be servants. And we have to exemplify the servitude of love, for Jesus said, I came to give my life a ransom for many. So here we have Mary and these three extraordinary characteristics of this woman that enabled her to say, behold, the maidservant of the Lord, let it be to me according to your word. And then in chapter 2, verse 19, Mary kept all these things. And my question to us is, how are we going to keep Christmas? I think we can offer ourselves in service to others. Isn't it great what Mr. Cooksey told us about the young adults doing in this church? The young adults have organized to feed the hungry and the needy in this community on Wednesday night from 5:30 to 7:30. The servitude of love. Then there is our youth group, our children. Andy and the children, the Stripling Elementary School is going to be here this coming Wednesday morning for their Christmas program. They're going to walk down from Stripling, come in here, anywhere from 200 to 470 children in elementary school. And our young people are going to put on a puppet program for them and share with them the servitude of love. What about our choir? Do you notice how hard they have worked? Didn't you appreciate that bell choir? choir music this morning. Do you know how long it takes to develop that? To work on that, to get it ready just for one time or two times, just so that you and I will appreciate Christmas that much more? And what about our choir this afternoon with the First Methodist at 4 o'clock putting on the Messiah? What a service of love they're going to offer to this community. That is the spirit of Christmas. And that is the character of Mary, because here was a woman. Here was a woman who could be characterized by the simplicity of faith and the serenity of hope and the servitude of love. What about your Christmas this year? You may be doing all the right things and going to all the right places and sending out all your cards to all the right people. But will you keep Christmas? Will you keep Christmas in your heart? Let's pray.